The Lansing Board of Water and Light said on its website yesterday that it has restored power to its entire electric service territory. However, judging by reports and comments on BWL's Facebook page, there are a number of individual homes and pockets of homes that are still without electricity since a major ice storm hit the region 12 days ago on December 22nd. On Monday, dozens of angry WBL customers voiced their frustrations over the extended power outage and the lack of communication at a special council session at City Hall. And during the tense meeting, the City Council, Mayor Virge Bernero, and BWL General Manager Peter Lark were each handed a copy of a document produced by the Averill Woods Association, Neighborhood Association. The group compiled an extensive list of questions and comments regarding the city's response to the crisis. Here with me now are two members of the Averill Woods Neighborhood Association, Margaret Kingsbury and Melissa Kwan Huber. Welcome to Current State, both of you.
Well, thank you for having us.
Glad to be here.
Let's talk a little bit first about your individual situations. Margaret, tell us how long you were without power yourself.
We were out without power from 7:45 Sunday morning until 11:30 p.m. Thursday night, mm-hmm. So right through Christmas.
Right. And Melissa, how about you?
I was one of the very, very lucky ones on my block. We actually had power. We had no internet, so we were unable to access TV and other communications that people would normally use. Mm-hmm. So we were calling folks from other cities that we knew and say, can you please look on the internet and let us know what's happening?
Right. What was the rest of your neighborhood like? Did others have power, or did you have people out, sort of a mix of?
The rest of the entire block was without power, and so we had a lot of people scrambling trying to find family members that they could stay with. We had people going out of state, just lots of people trying to find anywhere that they could go to find some reliable sources of heat and electricity. So we had massive outages in our neighborhood. We did.
Right. You had some resources, though, as you described. What did you do to sort of try and connect with others and help others in your neighborhood who weren't as lucky?
Well, initially it was pretty difficult because we didn't know exactly what was going on. I initially didn't even know that there was such a large outage because I hadn't, you know,
right.
It didn't come to my attention, and then I started getting the calls and things from neighbors. People were stopping by, say, hey, you've got power. You know, we're going to leave. Can you let us know when you see the lights come on? And we weren't expecting it at that point to be such a long, drawn-out ordeal. We didn't realize it was much bigger than our neighborhood at that point.
Margaret, talk about your contact with others in your neighborhood and your community.
Well, we have a pretty close-knit community, and when we looked out the window, we could see the streetlights are off, and we could see no lights on our side of the street. The people across the street did have power. But we started calling a few people and hearing from neighbors, you know, we don't have power, and do you? And we decided, all right, here we are. It's cold. We are going to go out for breakfast. And on the way out, my husband said, let's talk about generators.
Mm-hmm.
So I called all over town, Home Depot, Lowe's, Menards. They didn't have them. He said, try Sears. They had one. So we were really lucky. Instead of going out to breakfast, we actually went and bought a generator. Mm-hmm. We could afford to, and that is really a luxury. So, and we came home, and my husband, who is a mechanical engineer, who knew how to hook it up to the furnace. Mm-hmm. So we had warmth, and we could cook in the crock pot, and we had a few lights. But most of the people on our block didn't have any of that. Several of them left and went to stay with relatives. A couple toughed it out for two or three days and reached the point where they were so cold they said they couldn't even think. It was 34 degrees in some of the homes, and they were hypothermic.
Talk about then how this incident and your actions led to this idea for the report that the Neighborhood Association created.
Well, we can thank Melissa for that. She is the president of our Neighborhood Association, and she has helped us through a lot of things. One of the things that happened is she started looking at all the comments on her website, all the comments on Facebook, all the calls she was getting, and she started putting together a list of what were the questions and the problems and the concerns. And by then, she had gone to visit family in Indiana, so we were communicating on Facebook. But she sent us the document, and we decided we'd meet. And so six of us in the Neighborhood Association got together, and we looked over the document and said, okay, and let's add additional concerns. But the big one we identified was communication.
That was the highlight, you would say, of the report?
How do you get information? How do you know which people in your neighborhood need help? Where do you go for that help? And one of the things we started thinking about is if you don't have a radio or a TV, the power is out, you don't have battery-operated things, where can you go? And we started to think about, well, do we need a house on each block? How about our local school? Can we post announcements on the front door of the school? And people will know they will be there on a regular basis. Or we can go to the block captain. And then you think, all right, do we need a citywide plan? So the city will know these are the people we have to get the information to because they're going to disseminate it. And we really felt that the city and the Board of Water and Light didn't appear to have a plan.
Melissa, this report was given then to Mayor Virge Bernero and BWL General Manager Peter Lark. What do you expect to possibly happen next from this?
Well, I think some of the shortcomings that we've experienced with BWL are pretty widely known at this point, so I expect them to take a really aggressive position in improving their technology for communication and updating a lot of their emergency plans. One of the big things that I do hope at the city level would be for us to develop a community-wide emergency plan that we all know where to go in these emergencies, as Margaret's been saying, and that we have this information well in advance of an emergency so that we're able to have a clear plan at all of the levels of our neighborhood and our community. And one of the things I think that we did really well that we can build on is that over the last few years, we've been getting our neighbors connected with the NICSL alerts, with the code alert system, the reverse 911 system, and making sure folks have not only their landline registered, but their cell phones and any of the other communication devices that they have, so that in a case of emergency, we have multiple methods that we can use to try to reach people if they don't have power, if they don't have internet. And that was, I think, pretty it wasn't used as effectively as we would have hoped. And so I hope in future disasters or crises, situations like this, we are able to utilize those systems that we do have in place a little bit more effectively.
Well, how would you characterize communication in general from BWL, from the city of Lansing, from emergency responders during that week of solid outage?
Poor.
Yeah.
It wasn't obvious that there was any central place you could go to get information. We didn't have our Comcast was down as well, so I couldn't look on the internet. We listened to the radio, and we weren't getting anything on that. I was getting some information from my children in other states who said, oh, so-and-so, this is going on in this neighborhood, and they're getting closer to you, or they've opened warming shelters. But we didn't have any way of knowing that.
Right.
And I think, it was poor.
Just to clarify, you think that it was a poor response from BWL? Not necessarily
I
the city or
both,
emergency.
No, I think both. I think BWL didn't seem to have, well, you couldn't get through to them. That was one of the problems.
Mm-hmm.
You could not talk to a person.
What happened?
It was busy over and over again, and when you did, you went through the phone system. Please enter this, if this, and so on. And all right, we've taken your complaint, all automated, but you still didn't know for sure that anybody really knew about it. And the city, I think maybe they should have activated emergency response sooner, started looking, trying to find ways to know if people were sitting in their houses alone in the dark and cold and didn't have a way to get out. We in the Neighborhood Association realized that we wanted to be more clear about who those people were in our own blocks, so we were sure we actually made face-to-face contact with them. And I think when everything else fails, there's nothing like going door to door to ask.
Melissa, in this aftermath, there will be a lot of analysis and conversation. How much do you hope to be a part of it with your Averill Association?
I think we hope to be right there in the mix of it. One of our goals as a neighborhood association is always to solve problems not only for ourselves, but for our fellow residents across the city. And we've got a kind of a track record of doing that. We want to be there and part of the conversation and helping to bring forward any of the resources that we have to share. We've got some amazing people in our city, and we've got the resources to do this and to do this well.
Margaret Kingsbury and Melissa Kwan-Huber are from the Averill Woods Neighborhood Association. Thanks to both of you for joining us to discuss your comments and questions for the city regarding its response to the power outage.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.